Welcome to Glory to Glory, the radio teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Join us now in our study as we open the Word together.
And if you can turn with me, we're going through the book of Revelation, picking up in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Title of our message is The Effect of the Word. The Effect of the Word. I remember when I was probably just days old in the Lord, I was going to a small church in Michigan, and I went to a prayer meeting, and at the prayer meeting, the pastor quoted out of Philippians chapter 4, and he quoted that famous verse, which I never heard. It was the first time I heard it, "Be anxious for nothing." And when he quoted that scripture, being the first time I ever heard it, it encouraged me. I was blessed. And I knew that he was quoting the Bible, and I instantly thought, God doesn't want me to worry about anything. And it totally ministered in a powerful way to my heart. I commit that verse to memory, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind by Christ Jesus. The word is effective when we apply it. It's very effective. I don't believe we're going to know the effect of God's word totally until we get into heaven. We realize, wow, your word, Lord, is so powerful. We're called to apply God's word in our lives. And even by reading the word of God, it can affect us in different ways. In the text that we're going to read, John the Apostle was affected by the word of God. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to see what happened and how it applies to our lives. So, I'm excited to share with you this wonderful text. We're not in the trumpet judgments. We get a little break from the trumpet judgments here between the sixth and seventh trumpet judgment. But so here we are in chapter 10 of Revelation. So I just ask if you could please stand with me as I read God's wonderful word. So John the Apostle writes, again, Revelation 10, verse 1, "And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book opened in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cries out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets." Verse 8. "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." Lord, we pray over this wonderful text that's before us. Lord, we know this is a future event that's going to take place. Nothing will stop this from taking place. But Lord, your word tells us that we're blessed by reading the book of Revelation. We're blessed by hearing it. But also it says we're blessed by keeping it, applying it. So Lord, we ask that you give us application for this text. What does this text mean to us? How does it apply? Please show us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. As I mentioned, we have a break here. This is a period that's going to happen during the tribulation time. 7 years of tribulation is going to hit this earth. I want to remind everybody here, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we will not be here during the tribulation period. I mean, you read through this stuff and you're like, wow, I do not want to be here. And we won't be here. Before we get into the text also, I want to share with everyone to say, I want you to be comforted in knowing God is in control of everything that's happening in this world. We live in a world that seems like it's out of control. We're living in a country that seems like it's going way out of control. But we have to realize when we get our eyes on our Lord, when we put our eyes on the eternal, that there's a plan that is unfolding before our eyes that is going to take place. We can't stop it. It's going to happen. The things that are happening today, I believe, are very biblical. Things that have been prophesied that would take place. You see, Israel will stand on their own. There will be no country that will stand with them. And now you see with the new administration, we're pulling away from Israel. Not only that, we're funding their enemies. We will be funding their enemies under this new administration. But so if you look at the temporal, if you look at what's happening in the physical, that would make people to panic. But for the believer, we realize, wait a second, it's all falling in place. God has everything under control. Everything is okay in heaven. God's guarantee you, God's not up on the throne right now biting his nails like, I didn't know, wow, I didn't know that was gonna happen. Oh my goodness. Quite the opposite. We have it written. So he has everything under control. And we're part of his plan. And I believe we're getting very close to what's called the rapture of the church, where we who are alive and remain, we will be caught up together with him in the air, and we're going to forever, I love that, we'll be with him forever, never ever to depart from him, ever. When he comes back to the earth to reign for a thousand-year reign, guess what? We're going to be with him. When there's the new heaven and the new earth after the thousand-year reign of Christ, we're going to be with him. This is the closest thing to hell you and I will ever experience here on earth. Seriously. But for the unbeliever, this is the closest thing to heaven they'll ever experience. These events will take place, and I want to look back at verse 1 and kind of focus in on some of these verses here. So verse 1, it says, I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. And it gives a description. He was clothed with a cloud. He has a rainbow on his head. His face was like the sun. His feet were like pillars of fire. He has a little book in his hand. He has his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth, the land. And he cries with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Great Bible teachers differ on who this mighty angel is. There's two schools of thought here. One takes the side that this angel is Jesus Christ because of all the similarities. Then there's the other group that says, no, it can't be Jesus Christ, so it must be a mighty high-ranking angel, probably like Michael the Archangel or another high-ranking angel. I love what Dr. Vernon McGee says. He says, either side you're on a good side. Because there's great Bible teachers that believe differently. None of us can be dogmatic. And so I've heard the arguments. I've taught this passage a few times. I lean towards it not being Jesus. But then the more I look at the description, I wonder when you see his face like the sun, you see the rainbow on his head, he's clothed with a cloud, the pillars of fire. We're going to look at the verses that line up with that. This little book in his hand even is a scroll, an open scroll that was just opened, a scroll. His right foot and on the sea and his left foot on the land, proclaiming this is my territory. He's a voice like a lion, as Jesus is known as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So one of the biggest hang-ups that they have, one of the biggest arguments that they have, it says because this word another mighty angel, the word another is the same kind as. And so they identify this angel with the same kind as the other angel, the one that blew the trumpet. So they say it's the same kind as, it can't be Jesus. So, you know, and I've heard that argument for many years, and I never challenged it because I just believed that. And it could very well be. But then I started studying this word another and looked at the Greek word. And if you pull it apart and you look through it, it could also mean a different kind of class. And one of the definitions, it even says, it says in ancient Greek, it's very difficult to make a clear distinction between the two Greek words. So it's hard to distinct to know which one this really is. It's very hard. So when that came in play, I'm thinking, well, because it leans more towards Jesus to me than anybody else. So when I keep looking at that, I'm thinking, well, I've taught it the last two times saying that it's probably not Jesus, but now I'm thinking, I think it might be Jesus. But I can't, don't hold me to it. Neither side can be dogmatic about it. I know Vernon McGee believes that it's not Jesus. One of the commentaries I read with Pastor Chuck Smith believes it is Jesus. So you've got good people on both sides. It's not what their opinion is. It's what, you know, what do we think? We won't know until we get to heaven. We can only kind of speculate. But I want to show you why. Okay, so here it is. Talking about Jesus in Revelation 1:7, it says he's coming with a cloud. So he's clothed in a cloud. Also in Revelation 1:14, it says his hair was white as wool, white as snow. His eyes like flames of fire. So his face was shining. His feet were like fine brass, just as we read about in chapter 10 there, as refined in a furnace. And his voice was like many waters. Also here, it says, and he who sat there was like jasper, talking about the Lord, and sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, and he comes with a rainbow around his head. Interesting stuff. Don't you love rainbows, though? I'll stop here for a minute. Yeah. We've been getting a few of those lately because of all the rain. On Friday morning, I was praying for our expansion. We literally didn't have any seats for first service. Probably, again, every Sunday, it's like our busiest first service ever. And we did it again. We just have more and more people coming. So we need more space. And so Sunday or Friday morning, in the morning, I was praying about it. I was praying, Lord, you know, give us favor and fairness and, you know, direction and wisdom and all. While I'm praying, somebody sent me this picture. It's a double rainbow over Peter's Landing. And if I'm not mistaken, our building is right there between the two rainbows. And so I'm like, wow, I'm praying about the building. And then someone texted to me. Actually, Melissa and Dale texted to me. And who else? Carlos texted to me as they were driving by here, I guess. And I thought, wow, well, a rainbow for you note takers, it means God's mercy. God's, you know, promised he won't destroy the earth again with a flood. So it's a promise to us. So I thought that was very interesting. So I thought I'd take a minute and pause there for a second. But back to who this angel could be. Angel, the word, so you know, because you might say, well, Pastor, you're really stretching it because it says angel. Well, the angel, the word only means messenger. So it's just a messenger. A mighty messenger is what the text is saying. So it could be an angel as we know it, or it could be Jesus because of the similarities. It says in Revelation 5:5, see, remember in our text, it says he roared like a lion. It says, well, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is known as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it says, the root of David has prevailed to open the scroll, remember, and to loose its seals. Interesting, the little book that's in his hand, it's open and it's a scroll. If you look at it, it's a scroll. It's not just a book. That little book is a scroll. He has an open scroll in his hand. So interesting stuff as you look through that. I was reading somewhere about a lion when he roars. And as I was reading through it, it says that a lion roars to claim their territory or their space. So in other words, when they roar loud, real loud, they're claiming their territory. So anyone, any animal that hears their roar, that means you're in my space. This territory belongs to me. I own this territory. So I don't know, in the animal realm, they're probably, oh no, you know, there's like, can you still hear him? Let's go. It's like, but they mark their territory by their roar. And interesting, if it's Jesus, he roars for the whole world to hear him. And he's got this book or scroll that's open in his hand, possibly the title deed in his hand, putting his foot on the sea, putting his other foot on the land, saying, this is my sea. This is my land. I created it. It's mine. Here's the title deed. I'm taking my ownership back. Notice it doesn't say that his foot was in the sea. It was on the sea. As we know, Jesus walked on water. It's on the sea, not in the sea. So interesting similarities. I'll let you be the judge of which side you go on. Either way, you're on a good side. Before we go too far, note takers, The word mighty, the mighty angel, the word mighty means strong, powerful, valiant. So this angel or messenger is strong, powerful, and valiant. The cloud is speaks of judgment. His face, like the sun. If it's an angel, it means that this angel spends much time in the presence of the Lord, like Moses. Or if it's Jesus, it speaks of his glory. Feet, like pillars of fire, speaks of judgment. The judgment is coming, or refining. So let's go back in our text. Verse 4. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not, can we say that together? Do not what? Do not write them. So I just get this visual the whole time. John the Apostle, he's writing. Everything he sees, he's writing. Things that he hears, he's writing. He's trying his best to describe it. So now he hears these utterances coming from heaven, and he's getting ready to write, and the voice from heaven says, don't do that. Don't write it. Don't record it. And it's the only time in the book of Revelation where something is sealed up. You see, the book of Revelation, the word itself means the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation. It's the unveiling. So it's unveiling the future events. It's unveiling who Jesus Christ is. But this one spot, it says, seal it. Don't reveal it. And it's so funny because there's some pastors or teachers, they try to describe what they believe it is. And I'm like, really? We're told not to know what it is. And you're going to try to describe what you think it is? So I think it's best we just don't try to describe what we think it is. It's better to wait. It's revealed. But again, the book of Revelation is supposed to be revealed. And I want to say that because I hope you know this. There's churches that will not teach the book of Revelation. And they teach there's no such thing as a rapture. Well, why? Because if they went to chapter 4, verse 1, they would find a rapture right there. But they stop there and they say, oh, there's no such thing as a rapture. I remember when I taught years ago, when we were at the women's club and teaching through the book of Revelation, and an elderly gentleman in his 80s, he came up to my pulpit after I taught it, and he goes, son, young man. I said, yeah. He goes, don't you know you're not supposed to teach the book of Revelation? And I said, no, I didn't know that. And he goes, it's a sealed book. And I graciously said, well, then why does it say in there that we're blessed when we read it, we're blessed when we hear it, and we're blessed when we apply it? I said, how can I apply it unless I read it and know how to apply it? He goes, oh, I don't want to hear it. He got mad. He walked away from me. Well, I should have shared this verse with him. Revelation 22:10. An angel said to John, he said to me, can we say this together? Do seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Do not seal it. For the time is at hand. When people tell you you're not supposed to study the book of Revelation, you're not supposed to read the book of Revelation, take them right here and say, well, I'd rather believe the Bible. The Bible says don't seal this word up. I believe this book is probably the most attacked book in the entire Bible. Why? Because the enemy, the devil, Satan, does not want people to be blessed. And he whispers in their ear, it's a scary book. Yeah, it's very scary for those that are perishing, but not for us. It reveals the future. So back in our text. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth, the things that are in it, the sea, the things that are in it, that there should be, can we please say that together? There should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Verses 5 through 7 summarize, I believe, no delay. The prophecy, I believe, is talking about how the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. The mystery's over. God's coming. He's occupying. He's going to come and take back the earth. That's what the prophets, the prophets of old, they foretold that the kingdom of God was coming back to the earth. Remember when Jesus was on the earth and they says, when are you setting up your kingdom? When are you going to set up your kingdom? And he says, it's not for us to know right now. It's not time. It's my Father knows. Well, this is the change. There's no delay. The word's out. It's pronounced. No more delay. God's taking back the earth. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open, and the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And so I went to the angel and said, give me the book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey to my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Prophecy, you must prophesy. The word prophecy means speak forth the word of God. It can also mean foretelling the future. Tell them the future, speak forth the word. Let them know the future. Speak forth the word of God. Have you ever picked up a book and it's so good and you're planning on just reading like the first chapter and then you end up staying up reading the whole book? And then we use the words, don't we? I devoured it. I ate it up. I couldn't put it down. I just devoured that book. I believe it's similar to what's happening here. Not only the title deed, I believe that this little book could possibly be, again, I'm speculating, but also I believe it contains inside of it is the prophecies, the word of God, the coming kingdom is part of the title deed of planet Earth. It's the word of God inside of the scroll. And when we partake of the word of God, listen, as believers, we experience hopefully exactly what John experienced. It's sweet to us, isn't it? Isn't it sweet when you experience the word of God? It's like, wow, this is so good. That's how it should be. There should be that sweetness. Someone estimated or, you know, put together a figure regarding the promises of God, God's sweet promises. So said that there's 8,810 promises made by God for us as believers. And if that's the case, that's one promise a day for 24 years. That's a lot of promises. But it's sweet. Our scripture reading. This is just, I mean, it's so awesome. You read the word of God and you partake of it. It says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Can we say this together, please? Sweeter than the honeycomb. It goes perfectly with our text. The judgments of the Lord, his word, they're sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. But listen, it even gets sweeter. Moreover, by them, your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there's what? Great reward. So we read the word and we partake of it and we realize the sweetness for us and how we're so blessed by the word of God. I'm in my devotional time. I went through the book of Proverbs and then I liked it so much I'm going through it again because I need wisdom. So here I am. But here this morning it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And what's the effect? The sweetness of it. Can we say it together? For lengths of days and long life and peace they will add to you. By keeping the word of God, the effect of it, it gives us this, the sweetness of the word of God. And on and on and on, we can you know, just realize how sweet the word of God is. When I was a young Christian, I don't know, maybe weeks or months in the Lord, a friend of mine went to another church and they were having a youth camp and they were shorthanded, and they asked if I could go. And I said, I'm a young Christian. I can't counsel or I can't teach anything. I'm just a, you know. They said, no, we just need you there to help out with the sports and stuff like that. And it's just, we need help. And I said, okay, yeah. But I was so busy. By the time I got off work and drove to this place, I was there. I think it was like 2:30 in the morning. So I got there at 2:30 in the morning. Everybody's sleeping and everything. So I went in to found where my locker was to put my stuff in this locker. And I did that. And on the wall, and I'll put it up here, on the wall, it was the first time I saw 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. It was like the Lord used that verse to speak to me. It's like, that's what happened to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Joe, and I'd like to take a moment to personally invite you to one of our three services here at Calvary Chapel of the Harbor in Huntington Beach. Our service times are 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Please come and say hi after the service. I would love to meet you. For more information, check out our website at ccoth.com. That's ccoth.com. Hopefully, we'll see you here later today. God bless you.
You have been listening to Glory with Pastor Joe Pettick, an outreach of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. If you would like to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call now,
at 714-788-8221. That's 714-788-8221. Our address is 16450 Pacific Coast Highway in Huntington Beach, California, 92649. We're located in Peter's Landing Marina in Huntington Harbor. Now, may we continue to go to His throne of mercy as He changes us from glory to glory.